All right, well, good evening. How are y'all this evening? Well, good to see y'all, and those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing More Precious Than Silver. More people online? That's good. Okay. Yes, sir.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, we're here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth,
James had a pick of him earlier. What was that page number? 442? Let me turn there again. It wasn't the one that you said. 441? One off? Yeah, 441. Rescue the Perishing. Alrighty, cool. Let's see if I can get this. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, weakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for your labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right. Any others? Pick a hymn. Do one more if you want. I think, anybody thinking of one? Or not right now. Maybe next time. All right. Because He Lives? Yeah, that's a good one. We'll do Because He Lives. Oh, wow, nice. Because He Lives. Okay, page 358, Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, good to have you with us online, you folks online with us tonight. Do we have any praises this evening? Yes, ma'am, go, girl. Hold on, here comes a mic. So the folks can hear you online.
I just like to praise the Lord because it's just a blessing when you see the fruit of this, the Juanes Club, and you know, when after the pandemic, and we thought when all our kids were going to stop coming, and then all before you know, and then Brother Marco went to lead the other church, and so
right,
we didn't know what was going to happen anyway. So Lord just started bringing the kids in just out of nowhere, and then the next thing you know, we got two families coming to church. That,
amen.
You know, from kids that go to Awanis. And, you know, and so my friend Jackie and her kids, she's bringing more kids with her, and she's been coming for a few weeks straight.
Yes.
Now this new family, London, and their two kids, and it's just a blessing. I'm just like, wow. It's like, you know, God's good.
God is good. Amen, girl.
Yeah. Amen.
So that Awana ministry is bearing fruit. That's good.
Amen.
That's great. Amen. Other praises. All right, Alita's got one, and John's got one.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord, my previous employer called me back to work full time.
Amen. That is great praise. Awanis. Yeah. She's online. All right, Brother John.
Amen, Brother Lee. Super Bowl Sunday is every Sunday.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You're in church. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Let's see here. Miss Alita. All right. Any other praises?
I would like to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight. And that song we just sang, Because He Lives.
Uh-huh.
In my 20s, I experienced some anxiety, and I grabbed hold of this song, and every time I get anxious, I would sing this song.
Yeah.
You know, and those words say, because He lived. He arose on the third day.
Amen.
He's with us.
And praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Miss Terry.
So yesterday was 15 years that my sweet son went to be with Jesus.
Yes.
And I am just so thankful to be able to say that our God is very real.
Amen.
And that He sustains.
Yeah.
And He gives grace.
Yes.
And though I wouldn't want anyone to have to go through what I've gone through and what Brother Lee's had to experience this week, I'm very thankful for all the lessons that it's taught me about God's going to be there.
Amen.
And we don't have any reason to fear.
Our
worst fear, He's still going to be there.
Amen.
And it's all going to be okay.
That's right.
God's
Amen.
Good.
God is good. Amen, girl. Amen. Anybody else?
Well, everybody else got a praise. I might as well give
might as well
praise
jump in
too.
There, huh? Amen.
Yeah, might as well join the club. And I just wanted people to know that I'm really thankful that the Lord is helping me to see things a lot in a different light. Maybe as I'm getting older or something, but I'm really beginning to see things differently.
Amen.
You know, maybe He's taking the scales off my eyes. I don't know.
There you go.
All I know is He's answering my prayers. And
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, because a lot of times it's in His will that He'll give it to you.
Right.
And you just may not be prepared to accept what He's going to give you. But that's when you just get down on your knees and pray that He'll give you the wisdom to accept and understand what's happening. And so I'm just thankful, and I want to praise the Lord for everything He's done in our lives.
Amen. Amen. Very good, brother. All right. Well, on our prayer needs tonight, I went ahead and did some research. I I didn't see this on the news, but it was brought to my attention by one of our church members about this man shot dead in Lowe's parking lot while working his street sweeper. So his name is Jose Canales. He was 56 years old. He's operating a sweeping truck, and he stopped to pick up some large debris when an SUV entered the parking lot and gunned him down just right up here at the Tomball Lowe's. Yeah. So it was reported to Tomball Police as the night shift was coming out, ending their shift at about 4 a.m., and he was already gone. So I want to pray for Jose Canales' family. I'm sure he was an independent contractor, you know, had his own deal, and so it's a huge loss for them. And so I want to lift up the Jose Canales family. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. Ronnie Holman. Amen. All right. What else? What else?
Just pray for our church attendance. We did have a good day today. I feel it's getting better every Sunday, but
amen.
Pray that our Sunday evening service and our Wednesday evening service, people get back into the house of the Lord and start worshiping with us.
Yeah, amen. How many we got online tonight? Yeah, the live stream's kind of a double-edged deal, man. People really like it. It's convenient, but sometimes it keeps them at the house. So, amen. All right, very good. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir.
I have a sister.
Uh-huh.
Chronically, I guess you'd say.
Mic her up, brother.
I have a sister that's her name's Sharon,
uh-huh.
And she is 1 year older than I am, and I'm not saying that age. No, she's about 68. She's chronically ill, and she's been sounding real bad, and they don't have a car, and just pray for her health and that they get her to the doctor.
Amen. What's her name?
Sharon.
Sharon.
Hopper.
Sharon Hopper. Transportation. All right. What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
I'll give you the mic. That's my job. I don't get fired.
He's going to be doing leading a store set for a new Hobby Lobby in Brenham for the next 3 weeks, and so. For his safety and wisdom, and just God keep working on his heart, and for my safety, and just everything at the house, holding down the fort.
Amen.
And which I should have, hopefully, my son coming to stay with me.
Yeah.
And then also, we're really praying about starting up a visitation program for to go visit the families of our Juanes kids.
Yeah.
Periodically, even if it was once a month, twice a month. So we're praying about that, and got willing partners. So. It's exciting, so we'll see what God does with that.
Amen, man. That's great. All right, what else?
We have a praise also for Sharon Heiberger. You know, she's putting some
weight
on the foot.
Yeah, amen.
And hopefully we'll have a full recovery. We may have to wheel her in because she doesn't have any car, but maybe Lord will suffice in that matter.
Right, amen, man. All right, Sharon's foot's doing great. All right, yes, sir, over here.
Remember our soldiers, amen.
Military.
Yes.
Military in Eastern Europe. James. They're calling your name, brother. What do y'all want James for? Yeah, men in blue.
Men in blue.
Men in blue.
Amen.
Men and women in blue. That's right.
Amen.
some of them. They are under attack. They're so under attack that the current administration, he's really talking up the police, and that wasn't so much that way during the election cycle. But yeah, you can tell the sentiments of the country are really for law enforcement. Yeah. You know, politicians on the far left may not be, but the majority, I would say the majority of Americans are for good, honest working police officers. There are some bad apples every now and then, but most of those folks and ladies do what they're supposed to be doing, serving the community, putting their lives on the line each and every shift. All right, anything else?
Yeah.
No, yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm going to pray for you and your family.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up Brother Lee. Just give him safety up to Dallas as they go to the funeral, and just be with his mother, Lord, and just comfort them, Lord, and give them peace of mind, Lord, and just watch over them, God. And we know how it is to lose somebody, especially your father or your mother or a little one. It don't matter, Lord. But we do lift him up to you. We love him, and we're going to, you know, just get him back here safely, Lord. And we just thank you for all he does for this church and preaching the word, Lord, and to just watch over him on the way up there in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. You got anything else, brother?
No, Brother John, just wanted to remind everybody that early elections.
Okay, early elections. Tomorrow? Okay, early elections tomorrow, and this is for primaries. Okay. All right. All right. Early elections start tomorrow, primaries. All week. Okay. Early voting. All right. That's going on. Okay. Amen. Anything else? All right. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We lift up these praises to you. We're thankful that we have praises that we can lift up. And Lord, if we had nothing on the paper, we'd be able to thank you and praise you for our salvation. And thank you for keeping us for all eternity, Lord. And we just are so blessed that we are a part of your kingdom, and you have brought us out of darkness into light. You have brought us into the fold, so we rejoice and we praise you for that. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Sharon's foot, how it's responding to therapy, and we just praise you for that, that she's heading towards what seems to be a good recovery and a full recovery. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We also thank you for Miss Marilyn, Lord. She was back with us in church today, and after that shoulder surgery of hers, and says she's doing well and recovering well. So, Lord, we just pray that would continue for Miss Marilyn. Lord, we lift up the Awanas program and pray for those families that are visiting out of that program. We're thankful for that, Lord, and how that program just gets the Word of God into the hearts of those kids, and just the blessing it is to see the fruit come out of that ministry. It's amazing. And Lord, we're thankful and we praise you tonight for Miss Alita's request of for full-time employment. Lord, how you've answered that prayer, calling her back to her last job that she was in as temporary, and now it's going to be full-time permanent. So we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we praise you for Christian music tonight and the old hymns of the faith and how they help us and sustain us and point us towards you and your word, Lord. We give you praise for that. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Terry's words about the passing of her son some 15 years ago and the testimony she gives tonight, the praise that you are there sustaining us, giving us the grace that we need, providing for us, and always there in the midst of our deepest fears. We lift these praises up to you tonight, Lord, and just know we know that you're an awesome God. And you care so much for us, and you're for us and not against us. And we just praise you for that tonight. If we think about these prayer requests, we come to you, Lord. We lift up Jose Canales' family. Life tragically lost, a gunshot victim, trying to earn an honest day's wage. And Lord, we just pray you might be with his family, help them through this time of grief. And Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around them. We pray that the perpetrators would be brought to justice. And Lord, it would serve as an example that crime don't pay. So God, we just lift that situation up to you. We lift up Miss Sakura to you. Pray for her ears and the issues that she's having with her ears. Pray you might bring healing to that part of her body, God, and give her that relief and see her through there. We lift up Brother Ronnie Holman to you. And Lord, we pray you might touch his body and bring healing to him. Be with Miss Nancy as she cares for Ronnie. And Lord, we just pray that you see Ronnie through. Give him the grace to bear and withstand what he's having to withstand and go through. Lord, we continue to pray for church attendance on each and every service. But Lord, certainly on Sunday and Wednesday night, we lift that situation up to you, Lord. And Father God, you're the one who grows the church as you see fit to grow it. And Lord, we are thankful that we have people online with us, and we're thankful that the videos, services go out. But Lord, it's always a special blessing to be together in person. So God, we lift those services up to you and just ask your perfect will be done. We lift up Becky's sister to you, Sharon, and her transportation woes and situation, lack of transportation in the midst of being chronically ill. Just pray you might open a door and provide a way for her to get to the physicians and get to the doctors she needs to see. We lift up Brother Robert to you, Lord. We pray for him, his traveling mercies, and being away from home for 3 weeks, setting up a new store in Brenham. Pray that you protect the home fires, and Lord, watch out over him, and just, Lord, help them get through that 3 weeks of being apart there. Lord, we pray for the Awana's visitation program. We pray that there might be folks that want to go visit these Awana families and make a connection with them. And Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified in that. And Lord, salvations would come from that, and the church would be blessed by that. Lord, we lift up our military to you tonight. We pray for our NATO allies. Lord, we pray for that whole situation over there in Ukraine. Lord, we pray for your perfect will. We pray that Putin, Lord, would come to, I don't want to say senses, Lord, but he would come to some kind of a peaceful withdrawal from that region, taking his troops back to Russia. But Lord, we pray that you might protect Americans in the midst of this. You might protect Ukrainians in the midst of this, Lord. You might protect those military personnel that have been dispatched to that part of the world. And finally, Lord, we lift up our men and women in blue. We pray for them, a hedge of protection around them as they take those shifts day in and day out to protect and serve. So, Lord, watch over them, be with them, help them. We just pray that you'd sustain them and see them through, as well as our healthcare workers as they continue on in the fight against COVID. And then, Lord, as elections, primary elections begin this coming week, we pray that those Christian folk would vote their conscience, and, Lord, they would get out the vote. So, God, we just lift those things up to you. We thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Thank you that we can be here together in relative comfort. And, Father God, we just pray as we continue to go through the book of Revelation that you enlighten us and illumine us to the end times and the last days. Not so that we can just have a library of knowledge in our mind, Lord, but so that it just ties everything together, motivates us, helps us. Lord, just shows us that we're on the right path, that narrow road. So we thank you and we praise you for tonight. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 18, we're going to pick up a new section here, verses 9 through 20. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, and we'll read it through verse 20. All right, Revelation 18, beginning in verse 9. You found that this evening? Amen. Those of you online, Revelation 18, beginning in verse 9, the word of God reads this: "And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe,'" or your Bible may say, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city! She who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her.'" Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and errant word, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've already covered a system corrupted to the core. That was verses 1 through 8. We began a new vision of John. We saw the spirit of this system. We saw the sentence of this system. And as we transition from 6 through 8, verses 6 through 8, which we were dealing with on Wednesday night, as we transition on from that, on into the next set of verses in chapter 18, which we read this evening, verses 9 through 20, we don't want to miss the observation, and I'm hoping you're going to connect the dots here. And I, and if you don't quite connect them, you will after we mention it. And what do you mean by that? The observation that the angels that we read about here in chapter 18, the angels call for vengeance on Babylon from God. All right, in verses 6 through 8. Now look at verses 6 through 8, okay? Revelation chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. I understand we've already covered it, but we want to just take a one step back, take two steps forward, one step back. Word of God reads, "Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, and the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning.'" And, of course, the mourning there is grief, despair. "For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong." Now, the angels call for vengeance on Babylon for God to do this. Verses 6 through 8 parallels what? Well, we covered it chapters and chapters ago, but we've mentioned it before. It's the prayers of the martyred saints recorded in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. So jump back those verses, right? Understand how this book is connected, and these themes just kind of recur and recur and recur. 6, 9 through 10 of Revelation. "When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" Well, friend, that's come to pass. The avenging and the judging has come here in our passage in Revelation chapter 18. The angel's prayer for justice in this transition, as we talk about verses 6 through 8 before we jump into verse 9, the angel's prayer for justice is based on the Old Testament principle of lex talionis. Lex talionis. The law of retaliation. The law of retaliation. the principle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, stated very simply in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, and Exodus chapter 21. If you want to jump around with me, you can. If you want to listen to me read it, you can. That's fine. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, looking at Exodus 21. You will have heard these verses, no doubt, before in your life if you've been in the Bible at all. But we'll just read it for review. Exodus 21, verse 23, but if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Jump on down to Leviticus with me, or jump on over. Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. All right, verses 19 and 20. Leviticus 24, 19 and 20. If a man injures his neighbor just as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, just as he has injured a man, so it shall be inflicted on him. Right? You getting the message there? Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 19. I know we're going fast, but you'll get there. 19. Deuteronomy 19. All right, pick it up at verse 19. Then you shall do to him, 19:19, then you shall do to him just as he had intended to do to his brother, thus you shall purge the evil from among you. The rest will hear and be afraid and will never again do such an evil thing among you. All right, thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, what do you think we should do with the folks stealing all the catalytic converters? Right? I didn't lose one. We've got a church member that lost them. Our church member's in their Toyota truck for about $5,000. That's twice. Yeah. What should we do? What should we do? Now, our judges in Houston just kind of let them off scot-free. You know, give you a court date, you know. You can have your little reconnaissance bond. And, oh, by the way, maybe wear this ankle monitor. Yeah, it's a paycheck, right? Yeah, build more jails, right? Hire more. It's crazy, isn't it? The evil that's out there. Babylon, I think... You know, somebody gets caught stealing catalytic converters, you know, there ought to be some consequences. But, boy, they get caught twice doing it. There ought to be some consequences, yeah.
How about if a bank steals that much money?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm telling you. You're going away for a while, amen? Babylon has been extended enough grace and heard enough warnings. Now comes, as we've been talking about, we're talking about the economic side of Babylon. We've already covered the religious side of Babylon. But now comes God's vengeance. Now comes her destruction. We read about it as we went on in verses 9 through 20. The angel's plea here in verses 6 through 8 is reminiscent of the Old Testament saints' pleas for vengeance on ancient Babylon. And there was a bunch of examples. I'll just share with you one, as we just kind of make some closing observations on this last section of Scripture. Psalm 137, verse 8 says, O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, how blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you have repaid us. Jeremiah also pleaded for vengeance on Babylon. Several examples of that. In our time, more than ever, we must learn that retaliation belongs to who? Yeah, retaliation belongs to God, doesn't it? The Bible explicitly forbids Christians to take their own vengeance. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot protect your property, and that doesn't mean you can't protect your family, and that doesn't mean you can't protect your household. But when it comes to our own personal vengeance, right, when we've been wrong or offended, believers must follow the word and the will of God. Amen? That's why we got to have good police officers, right? Right? I mean, you see somebody cutting or you hear somebody cutting your catalytic converters out from underneath your used SUV, right? Vince, call 911. Don't you go out there, Vince. Amen? Call 911, right? Believers must follow the word and the will of God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 says, "Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you." Amen. And hopefully he will save you by the Tomball police as they make a quick dispatch to your property. Romans 12, 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." And then a lengthy section in the book of Romans, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men." And then Romans 12, 19 through 21 says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." No road rage. Well, there's plenty of that going on. Y'all seen in the news the little 9-year-old girl shot in the head by road rage, right? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we saw a system corrupted to the core. That was verses 1 through 8. We're going now to see a system considered, verses 9 through 20. When the Babylonian economic system is judged, the entire world is plunged into grief. The world cries, "Woe, woe." We saw that over and over again as we read through the passage. Or your translation may say, "Alas, alas," as they realize that their wealth and power is gone. It's no more. Now, we want to notice how the different groups react to the fall of Babylon, because that's basically what we have there in verses 9 through 20. First of all, we see the monarchs of the earth, how they consider her. Verses 9 and 10. "And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.' All the leaders of the nations of the earth who have risen to power and prosperity on the back of this system now mourn over her destruction," right? I mean, it was kind of like, I won't get political tonight. It's easy to do because politics today, if you're in politics today, you can do what? You can get the back scratching going on, right? And you throw me a bone and I'll throw you a bone. And so that's what will have gone on here, and then that system's going to be crushed, coming to a close. Every economy of every nation on the earth will crash to the ground altogether at once, right? In a moment of time. It'll start here in Babylon, but Babylon is so interconnected with everything else. It will be just, you've seen the animations of, a city going dark, you know, and the power company will go offline, and then you start to see all the lights go doop. Until the whole thing is in darkness, right? The crash of this system will be accompanied by the wailing and weeping of the rulers of the world. The monarchs of the earth consider her. Secondly, the merchants of the earth consider her. That's a lengthy passage, verses 11 through 17a. Basically, what's going on here? These merchants are the businessmen and the CEOs of the great businesses of the world. And in an instant, their financial empires are brought to desolation. All of a sudden, all their goods, which were worth so much, are now worth nothing. Right? Look at verse 12. Verse 12. "Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble." Verse 12 tells us that the luxuries of life are out of reach. They were out of reach, right? Out of reach. Houses, cars, jewelry, and other fine things of life will have been unobtainable. Verse 13, and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives tells us that the basic necessities of life will be impossible to obtain. Spices and bread and meat and other foods will be out of reach of every man. Verse 14. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. Verse 14 tells us that the exotic things that men long for will be taken away too. Now, there's something cryptic here. Don't miss it. When you look at the list, notice this order of the list that began in verse 12. The first item is gold there in verse 12. The last item is slaves and human lives. In the King James Version, it says the souls of men in my translation, right? This list reveals this world's system's priorities. What is it? It's profits over people, yeah. Profits over people. Yeah, profits over people. This system has obtained power. This system has gained prosperity. This Babylonian economic machine during the very height of the tribulation, it has gained power. It has gained prosperity through oppression and enslavement of the common man. The good news in all of this is that at this point in the tribulation, those days are over. Those days are over. Verses 15 through 17a shows the formerly wealthy merchants weeping over the destruction of the city. The merchants of these things who became rich, verse 15, from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste." Still with me so far? Amen? They have witnessed, these merchants, they have witnessed the devastation of the world's economic system, and they are shattered by what they have seen. Now, we live in an hour, we live in a time, we live in a culture, and it's not like this everywhere in the world, but it is here, like what I'm telling you, right? That if we want anything readily available, we can pretty much get it. You've heard of Amazon, right? I mean, they bring it to you. You don't have to leave the house anymore. They bring it right to you. You may have to get in the car. Now, you may have to wait a day. May have to wait 2 days, but it'll get there, right? Anything we want readily available, most people in this culture, in this society, here in these United States of America, are able to afford it. Not everybody, but most are able to afford about anything they want within reason. COVID, economic downturn, or not, there are people with plenty of money. People with plenty of money, right? Drive around, people with plenty of money. Now, that will change one day. That's coming to an end one day. The money of the world will be worth nothing. Absolutely. Goods will cease to be available. Amazon will be no more. The world will be brought to its knees by the destruction of economic Babylon. So we've looked at the monarchs of the earth, how they've considered the judgment of economic Babylon, the merchants of the earth, how they've considered the judgment of economic Babylon, and now the mariners of the earth. 17 will continue on. "For in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster, the mariners, and every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste.'" All the people who made a fortune carrying the goods produced by this system mourn when they see the system's destruction. It's over. Their source of wealth is taken away, and they are left destitute. And understand, these people don't have Christ. They lost. They're lost. All they've lost all hope of profit. They've lost all hope of prosperity. Everything is taken away from them in an instant. So you can see, right? You take everything away from me, take everything away from you, but at the end of the day, we have who? We got Jesus, amen? These people are going to lose everything. They've got nothing. They've got nothing, right? That brings me to verse 20. We went through this section of Scripture pretty quick. But that brings me down to verse 20. We've talked about the system considered, the judgment of the system considered. We see the multitudes of heaven consider the judgment of economic Babylon. They have a different perspective, don't they? What does it say in verse 20? Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. It's almost reminiscent. It's kind of the final answer to prayer of the saints in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It's the final answer to prayer. When are you going to avenge us? Well, it's coming. And here it is. And we... Huh? Final answer to the warning. The multitudes of heaven consider her. While earth weeps over the fall of Babylon, lost earth, lost humanity, while lost people weep over the fall of Babylon, heaven worships. This system has been responsible for the death. It's been responsible for the destruction of many of God's people that were saved during the tribulation. I'm not taking the mark. I'm not going to trade by the mark. I'm not going to do that. They're going to starve. They're going to be killed. They're going to be martyred. Now this system is judged, and heaven is filled with joy. Notice the opposite perspective in observing heaven's perspective concerning the events of Babylon's judgment. What brings sadness to the hearts of lost earthly humanity brings shouting to the hearts of heavenly saved humanity. Amen? Yeah, there would be the difference. It's a big saved word, right? One day we will have a heavenly perspective. Now we try to have a heavenly perspective, don't we? I mean, the Word of God helps us have a heavenly perspective. Singing the songs helps us have a heavenly perspective. Coming to church helps us have a heavenly perspective. I mean, everything Christian, everything that we can plug into us and put into us and assimilate into us gives us that heavenly perspective. But one day we really will have the ultimate heavenly perspective. And so we should keep working for that. We should keep praying for that. We should keep trying to see things. James talking about seeing things a little bit different. We should keep trying to see things the way Jesus sees things. See things the way the Bible wants us to see things, right? And hopefully, we're a little more like Jesus. Have a little more heavenly perspective than we did from the day before. Amen? As we think about this message, we begin with a few observations. As we think about these verses that we read here tonight, nothing so clearly reveals the hardness of sinners' hearts as their lack of sorrow over their sin, right? Their lack of sorrow over their sin, right? They're not upset about their sin. They're upset about their loss, right? They're not upset about their sin. They're upset about their loss. Through the years of devastating judgment, the tribulation sinners will relentlessly refuse to mourn over their sin. But though they will not lament over their sin, they will cry over the destruction of Babylon. When the glorious centerpiece, the head of Antichrist empire, the crown jewel of it all, when that is judged and destroyed, there will be worldwide dismay and mourning, but not for us. We'll be shouting, hallelujah, right? Because what's getting ready to happen? Man, them feet of our Lord and Savior about to hit that mount, right? Jesus is coming back. Amen. So we leave it there? Amen? Let's close it out. Huh? Yeah, amen. We're going to win that Super Bowl. Amen. We're going to win that one. We are going to win that one for sure. We may lose some of the regular season games, but that final Super Bowl game, buddy, we may be the sixth seed coming into those playoffs, but that we're going to win that one. Amen. We're going to win it. So let's close it out. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we one day going to get the victor's crown. We praise you and thank you for that because, Lord, we do love your appearing. And, Lord, we are anticipating your second coming. And, Lord, we do realize that we're just passing through. And so, God, we want to live with that kind of perspective. We want to live with that kind of a mindset. And, Lord, we are continually amazed and blessed that you count us worthy, that you allow us to be a part of what you're doing here, building your kingdom and trying to bring glory and honor to your name. And so, Lord, we know we're just a part of it. We're just a player in it. Lord, give us the strength to continue and give us the perspective to not lose hope or to be counted among those that are fearful. But we want to have a good, holy courage, a holy courage to do your will and to do your word and to love those people that are sometimes unlovable. Lord, help us love them and show them that gospel, give them that truth so that they might be changed, so that they might experience salvation, so they might know what it means to be truly loved and filled by Jesus in this wonderful thing we call salvation, this wonderful thing you call salvation. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for the process of discipleship, and thank you again that we can meet here tonight and be in your word. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Dismissed. See you folks online. We'll see you back on, I won't be with you Wednesday, but I'll see you back in a week. Yeah, James is going to cover it. You.